It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, just starting the study, and so we're just barely getting into it. What a joy it is to study God's precious Word. While you're looking that book up, Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, please, I'd like to let you know that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And again, that'd be Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to check our website out, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Got many studies up on the site, and I hope that you would enjoy them and learn from them and get a blessing from them is my prayer. And also we have the plan of salvation there by print and also to listen to it audibly. And so please that you could do that would be wonderful. And then also our constitution, our church constitution is there, so you can realize what we believe, and it's all based upon God's precious Word. And if you'd like to email us, it's Parkview Bible Church at gmail.com or Parkview Bible Church or Parkview Bible at gmail.com. Either one would be just fine, and that would you'd be able to contact us if you would like to. So now, hopefully that was enough time for you to open your Bibles, and we begin reading it. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And we begin with verse 2 there. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judah and his brethren. And it continues from there. And we're going to just begin with that for our scripture reading and just start with prayer now. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together and enjoy this time. Please guide and lead us. Just direct us today, Father. I pray that the doors would be open, the hearts would be open, the heart doors would be open, and minds would be clear, that we can sit and listen and enjoy the precious Word today. It's so important that we have the Word of God before us, but we need to take time to study and to research it, to enjoy it. So please, dear Lord, just step by step, Father, day by day, little bit upon little bit, precept upon precept, help me to learn your precious Word and then to live by it. And so guide and lead us now, Father, as we study your precious Word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have looked at the beginning verses as we started this study. Again, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. And so we kind of start there because it was kind of strange. It didn't really list all of the sons of Jacob at all, only one that was in line of the Lord Jesus, and that was through Judah. And so it did list and just kind of leave a little note there, and his brethren. And so that involves the other 11. And you know, the tribe of Levi was the priestly line, and we have the joy of the rest of the family. But here, the only reason one is listed is just like Isaac. Then Isaac begat Jacob, and there was Jacob and Esau, but we just have Jacob, and then Jacob got Judah. And then it begins to move down through the genealogy. And as we move over to the 17th verse, it tells us, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David unto the carrying away of Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away of Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. And so Matthew, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, has divided it into three sections. Now, if you add up the names, the numbers are a little bit different. There are some names that were left out. He did do it in the purpose of 14, And we have three sections and three different divisions. And I think that's what we need to look at today, is the separation between those three different time elements between Matthew, literally, and Abraham. It really starts with Abraham here. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean Matthew. Abraham to David, and then David to the captivity in Babylon, and from Babylon to Christ. And so there's three sections of history, is the way Matthew has divided that. Now, as we look back, we're going to just take a look at a few of these names, because some of them would ring a bell to you, and you kind of know them, and we're going to move right through. But please, as you would look to these names, realize that it is very important, because it does speak very clearly in the first verse, the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. What a beautiful, beautiful statement that we have. We need to understand and enjoy those and recognize the importance of this, and we'll attempt to do that today. In the third verse, we have Tharma, if you'll just look to the word with me, and we find down and that word Tharma, there are four women's names in here, and that in itself is strange, because normally it's always the man's name, but there are four women's names here, and the first one is Tharma or Tarma, Tamar, I'm sorry, is really the definition of that, Tharma or Tarma. And then the second one here is Rahab, and we find that in the fifth verse, Boaz of Rahab. And Rahab also, of course, is a woman's name, and so we have Rahab there. And then next is Ruth in the fifth verse. In the sixth verse, it doesn't list the name, but it's Bathsheba. And so David the king begot Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias, which is listed Bathsheba. So those are the four women's names. Now, the Ruth and Rahab are both Gentiles, just to for you to know. Three of them really have quite a dark mark in their past of concerning their character. But through that, God shows how great his love is. You know, we kind of rate and rank people. We look and we, oh my, look at what they've done, or look at who they are. And we should never do that. We should look at their heart and their soul as one that needs the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus died for them just as he died for us. He can save them. If he can save me, he can save anybody. And we just praise the Lord that his love is so great that he will reach out, and there is no one exempt. We rate and rank people, you know. We put them in certain categories and levels and things like that. And sad to say, sometimes we act like the Pharisees, the religious bunch that stand on the street corner, and, oh, God, I'm so glad I'm not like them. Please, don't be that way. Just thank and praise the Lord for the love that he has given you, the forgiveness that he has handed you. Now you hand that forgiveness on, and you show Christ's love to all, to everyone, because Jesus did. And we have that example right here, that beautiful example of the love that God has poured out on the men and women. And if you'll look at this Judah, he was, you think, well, that's a god. Oh, Abraham was a godly man. Isaac was a godly man. And if you'll study the scripture, you'll find that they are just men, as all of us, that have so severely, seriously failed, and yet God's mercy brought us through that. And lifted us up and put us to a place that we could never have attained if we had not come by faith and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just ask that you follow that path, please. And as we look down here in verse 6 is kind of neat, too. And Jesse begot David the king. And David the king begot Solomon. Well, Solomon was the king, too. And yet it's not mentioned here. And so with David here, the covenant was made with David. You know, the covenant was made with Abraham, but it's so important to see the role that David has here. With David, the promise of the kingdom of the Messiah was given. Jesus will inherit the throne of David, and from that throne, Jesus will reign in righteousness. Both good and bad are given here, but it's such a joy, once again, to see the mercy of God as we look through these names. And I do such a horrible job in pronouncing those names. I want you to read them, but that's the reason that we're just kind of moving over, and you won't find very often that I do not read every single word and verse. But I want you to look, and you'll see Boaz and Ruth and Jesse, and again, David the king, and David the king is twice in there. It's so important. Solomon, and we enjoy all those beautiful names, and that we can enjoy. And after they were brought to Babylon, we have that in verse 12, comes down, and then we find to verse 13, begat Jacob. Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. That's the sole purpose of that line, is to make the connection. And again, not only does it lead and bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it also allows us to come and connect with David, King David, David the King, as the Scripture tells us. And so now we've gotten ourselves kind of back, as we look, and we find that Saul, you know, was the first king of Israel, but really, you know, God's first king was David, and the last king is our Lord Jesus Christ. David's the only king that's named in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus. There were others, but he is the only one that is given. And the only purpose of this is to make the connection between David and the Lord Jesus, those links between. And what a wonderful picture that we have of this. And so we look at the a couple of the verses here, and we see Uzziah is in verse eighth verse, and it's Ozias, but that's Uzziah, and so we have that different times. There's different ways that they have written that between the Hebrew in the Old Testament and in the Greek in the New Testament, and so for us to see those differences and changes. But it's such a joy each time to look through these precious words. And the time that they were listed here between 9 and 10 is about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And if you'll notice that in verse 11, it says, about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And then in verse 12, and after they were brought to Babylon. And so it gives us that section in there. And so it's the captivity. The Scripture doesn't say captivity. It says carried away. And yet they were captured. They were captive there. God pulled them out of the land because of their disobedience. He allowed an enemy to come in and just literally take them from their land because they stopped worshiping him. And I promise you that in our great nation, if we turn our back on our God Jehovah, if we turn our back on him, he will do the same with us. We are not his chosen people like Israel, but we are the church, and we are to stand for him and praise his name and honor him. And if we neglect in doing that, and if we begin to serve the gods of this world, we have so many blessings that he's poured out on us that we worship them and not worship him. And it's coming to the place today that on radio or different public events, the word, the name God can't even be listed. And it's becoming so sad, and we'll pay the price if we don't stand up as believers and speak clearly concerning our Lord and Savior and his salvation and the hope that he gives us. And so please, this here, it's spoken in very kind words, and it says carried away, and not captive as it you would have thought it would have been. And then after they were brought to Babylon. And now we come and we have looked at the 16th verse, Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. And then we have, as we have spoken here, and he is not the natural father, but in the scripture here we find him to be the legal father. And so what a joy to read these scripture verses as we begin looking at the birth of the Lord Jesus. So we have three groups: Abraham to David, David to the captivity of Babylon, and then Babylon to the birth of Christ. And again, not all names are listed. It speaks of the 14 generations between, but there is a reason and a purpose. Some of these things God will show us when we get home to be with him. But we know that he has separated that into three different sections: Abraham to David, David to the Babylonian captivity, and then Babylon up to the birth of Christ. So we have that now in verse 17. And then we can begin now as we look at this beautiful picture, as we have the explanation concerning why that we're speaking here of Joseph, the husband of Mary, because we know that the Lord Jesus was fathered by the Holy Spirit. She was a virgin. She had not been with Joseph. Let's take a look now at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise: when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. What a beautiful reading. And if you've ever been in church and listened to the what we call a Christmas story, Oh, it's such a beautiful story. I can read it over and over again, and it just blesses my heart each time. And so we find that we have the explanation. Again, the genealogy in Matthew is through Joseph, but also we find it the same line is through with Mary as well. And we have the explanation here. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise. Now, the folks in this time, as do today, miss it. They miss the opportunity of knowing the Lord Jesus as their Savior. At this time, they miss the birth. The whole world, every individual around the world should have been rejoicing and crying out with great joy because the Messiah has been born. And yet we know that most of the world just walked as they always walked, did what they usually did, were not amazed, were not taken by anything. And it is so, so sad. We look here in verse 22 and 23, because it tells us, and now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets. And we have so many scripture verses concerning that, but we're just going to go back to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, just for one of the examples. And these religious folks knew the Word of God, and as do today, they just reject it. They do not desire to follow after the truth and have that joy and excitement knowing the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. What a beautiful, beautiful message there. And so as we see the promises, and there are so many promises, they follow after the Word of God, they search the Word of God, and they knew the Word of God, and yet they ignored it. They rejected. They had gotten so tied up into the worship of tradition that they missed the very purpose of all of the wonderful rules, laws, commandments that Moses had given them. And they had changed them. They had become very legalistic. And they were just going to every letter of the law, and they missed the whole purpose of that law and the offering of those sacrifices, bringing those folks to the Lord Jesus. They missed it, and it's so sad. But it hasn't changed today. We have so many religions out there, so many churches out there, and yet folks don't talk about Jesus. They don't talk about how Jesus died on the cross for them to save them. They don't fellowship over that. They just come together for social purposes. We need to help the poor. We need to help the sick, and all those things are needed, are necessary. But the greatest necessity is to come by faith to Jesus Christ and trust him as your Lord and Savior and begin to walk each day. I watch folks that take the Lord's name in vain. It just breaks my heart. They don't know what they're saying. They're just saying something that's just been something that maybe their father has taught them instead of their father teaching them or their mother, in many cases with a single-parent family. They don't even have a father there to give them the godly line and show them the right direction to go. But even if the father's there, many times they neglect their responsibility of showing people the way to salvation, and that is this baby that's born here, God, Jehovah God, the Son of God, Jesus, has come down, took on a body, born through the Virgin Mary, and lived here for 33 years, and was condemned and criticized with all the wonderful miracles that he performed, raising the dead, healing the sick, teaching such wonderful ways to live and to walk, and yet he was totally rejected. He was taken and crucified by the Romans, but the Jews was the ones that delivered him. The very, his own namesake, his own family has forsaken him. And so please, as we begin this study, don't miss these wonderful words. Don't miss this wonderful time. And again, I'm just going to read very slowly, and then we'll visit a few of these things in these verses and go on. We've looked at the generations. We've come now, and now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Here's how it happened. When his mother Mary was espoused, they were engaged, and many times why that engagement did not mean as it does today that, so many folks live together instead of marrying to start with. And they say, you know, we got to see if it's going to work. Well, if you go in with an attitude like that, it's probably not going to. And so Mary was espoused to Joseph. They were engaged. Before they had come together, they had not been together. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, Joseph did not understand this because he knew that he had not been with her. Well, the only answer other than that is that somebody else had. And that's a disgrace. And so Joseph, her husband, in other words, a spouse, that's the same as husband, being a just man, not willing to make a public example, was mindful to put her away privately. It's hard to imagine that you can have a broken heart and still have such love, because that's exactly what Joseph did. Right here, now did we take care of it here in the 20th verse, but right here we find that Joseph finds out that Mary's pregnant. How can this be? But he loves her so much that even though she has done something that's brought disgrace upon herself and upon him, he loves her so much that he's not about to put more shame in any way upon her. And so he goes about the only human way, the way a person thinks, to take care of her, and let's just take her away to another place where she's not going to face any shame, because Joseph loved her. But while he thought on these things, while he was trying to work it out in his mind, that's what we do, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, and he said, Joseph, son of David, look at that. See, we bring that up again. Once again, we have down Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon. And so we have that wonderful connection here. And the angel of the Lord made that connection between Joseph and between David. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. God came to live with us, but he came to die so that you and I can live. What a wonderful day. What a beautiful day. It doesn't matter if the sun's a-shining or if it's pouring down rain. It doesn't matter, because I know my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I have accepted him many years ago, and I have loved the walk each and every year. every day, every minute of every day. And I love sharing His Word. I hope that you enjoy this study that we have in Matthew as we've just beginning. But most important, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?